A lot can be said about the Steelers' path this season at 7-7-1 with two games to go and a chance to still make the playoffs and even win the division. There's been a lot of questions as far as what's held the team back, what's pushed the team forward, and a lot of questions have been pointed right at Mike Tomlin, the head coach. Joining me to talk about Mike Tomlin, what he's done, how much is to blame or how much is to credit for this season to his coaching efforts, and where the Steelers should go with him. We're going to talk about that topic and get you ready for the weekend with our weekend picks and get you set up for Monday Night Football right here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, with Jenna Harner today. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On Steelers, your daily Pittsburgh Steelers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things in the Pittsburgh Steelers. As always, you can find this show on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, and YouTube. If you're watching this YouTube video, please hit the like button, hit the subscribe button to get all our daily content. We appreciate anyone who's out there giving us support. If you leave us a five-star review on Apple Podcasts, you get a special shout-out at the end of the show. Joining me, as always, on Fridays is our special guest, Jenna Harner. She's back in the show, and we're excited for everything that she has. Jenna, how you doing?
Chris, I am wonderful. I'm so excited to be here. It's a Friday. We're headed into week 17. You can just feel the excitement in the air. This is the best time of the year.
It's indeed excitement. It's playoff football even before the playoffs, because there's a lot of teams like the Steelers and the Browns who are pushing for their opportunities this season. Now, Jenna, let's talk about the Steelers before we get into a lot of other stuff. I want to talk about Mike Tomlin specifically, because there's a lot of questions especially after a loss like they had to the Chiefs, and their second such loss of the season. By more than three touchdowns when they lost to the Bengals. A lot of people are saying, oh, the Steelers have lost their way, this, that, and the third. He should be fired, and this is a doomed season, and this is all his fault, and he's such a bad coach. But that only seems to be coming from fans and a couple people locally. But nationally, like we were talking about off camera, when you talk to people nationally, they're like, this is an amazing coaching performance. Look at this roster with no offensive line, with a quarterback that's kind of handcuffing you to this system that he can barely move, with all the injuries you've endured, with the problems in the defensive line. How is this team that ranks towards the bottom of the league in points allowed, the bottom of the leagues in points scored, and and in most major categories isn't in the upper half of the league? How are they competing, and how do they have a playoff shot when they're playing the toughest schedule in the NFL?
Not only do they have a shot at the playoffs, they still technically have a chance to win the division. Now, is it likely going to happen? Probably not, just because of the things that have to shake out. They have to win both games. The Bengals have to lose both games. But the fact that you're in this position with the roster that you have, like you said, you and I were talking before, and ESPN, one of the football shows that they were doing, honestly, I was trying to remember which one it was, but they called this year a Mike Tomlin masterpiece. And honestly, I kind of agree with them, because again, you look at the record, obviously you look at some of the losses that they've had, the ways in which they've lost. But if you came into this season and you had ridiculously high expectations for this team, remember, everyone was picking the Steelers to either finish third or last in the division. Everyone said it's going to be the Ravens and the Browns fighting for that top spot. The Browns have finally, asserted themselves. They've found their way with the way that they beat the Steelers last year in the playoffs and the wild card game, how they looked, all the things. And now we've seen kind of what we figured, where it was like, okay, pump the brakes on the Browns a little bit, look at Baker Mayfield. But the reality of the situation is, for the Steelers, is that they have struggled in so many areas. We know that we knew the offensive line was going to be a really crucial part of how well or how poorly they performed this year. And you saw the ups and downs with that. We've seen the ups and downs with Ben Roethlisberger. We've seen the ups and downs with just the defensive line as a whole. I mean, the fact that Stephon Tuitt, I don't know. I feel like you want to almost anticipate he may not return. Mike Tomlin did say he would not comment on that on Tuesday. But you almost kind of, with two games left in the season,
It's a gone conclusion. Yeah.
Yeah. Losing Tyson Alualu, like they lost so many pieces. They were dealing with so many holes. You lose key pieces in the secondary in the offseason, like things that we talked about all year. And the Steelers are still competing. You know, this wasn't going to be the year where, oh my God, they're so talented. They're competing with the Chiefs. They put together a 10, 11, 12 win season. Everybody kind of expected them to be middle of the road. And that's exactly where they are right now, largely in part to Mike Tomlin.
Yeah, no, that's where I sit with how when you look at this season. And I thought, hey, if a few things broke their way this year, they stayed healthy and Ben Roethlisberger was able to just be a more cerebral quarterback, I said this team could get 10 wins, maybe even 11 if you stretched it. But I look back and I say, man, like the things that have happened, you know, and how this team was built for its defensive line to control games, to basically shut down the run and allow the pass rush to surge. And that group got decimated and that kind of put a hole in the defense's plans. And then, you know, Joe Hayden misses a month, and then you're dealing with that problem in the secondary. That's a lot of things to overcome. And again, this isn't making excuses. This is acknowledging facts. And I think one people that they look at this and they see the potential. You know, the Steelers, they could very much finish. They win one more game. They finish this season with a non-losing record. And it's one thing that I think anyone that kind of doesn't like Mike Tomlin, they're like, that record doesn't mean anything. But it does, because one thing that you look at, the Steelers never bottom out. Even when if people want to say, I've seen people say, oh, Ben Roethlisberger's dragged Mike Tomlin. They went 8-6 without him, with a fourth string quarterback. With Devlin Hodges.
They had a chance to make it into the playoffs with that game against the Bills.
Exactly.
The Sunday night game.
They were that close without Ben Roethlisberger in that year. They've shown and Mike Tomlin has shown that he can make this team competitive year in and year out. And yes, there's gonna be games they lose, but I think it shows, if nothing else, when they get into matchups like games against the Bills, a team that was supposed to run away with the AFC, games against the Titans, who's just, even without Derrick Henry, is one of the top teams in the AFC. They found ways to say, hey, we're gonna take this away, we're gonna take that away, we're gonna win these options. They beat the Ravens when Lamar Jackson was healthy. You know, those are key wins that have built their way to this season and have put them in this position. And yes, are there tough losses? Absolutely. But you look at those losses, there's plenty of opportunities on the field in those moments, not schematic breakdowns, but more so, hey, you know what? They banked on this guy to win. He didn't win in this matchup, and that caused these problems. And some of those are tough situations. You know, the Steelers, we knew going into this season that they were going to need to win with the defensive line, wins to it, and Alualu and Carlos Davis and a number of guys. When you start playing Henry Mondu and Isaiah Loudermilk a ton, those guys are going to be asked to grow up very fast. And oftentimes when you do that in the NFL, bad things happen. And you saw that happen in the run game. That's why Montrevious Adams, a practice squad guy, was able to come in and be a boost to the Steelers defense because they were that hurt up in that division. Even Chris Wormley, who has 6 sacks in the season, got hurt and they had to work without him for a while. So lots of questions there. But again, Jenna, I think it comes back to this organization knows that it's, you know, Chuck Knowles preached back in the 70s when he was the Steelers coach. When people would credit him for coaching great and doing great things, he would always say, it wasn't me, it's the players on the field. Mm-hmm. The Steelers have always been about with their coaches, like, hey, we'll put you in position, but you have to win the game. We'll give you the opportunity to go out there and have a chance. And for the most part, that's what Mike Tomlin has done. And for me, it's like, yeah, this was an underwhelming year as far as the roster-wise that they were able to put together. But if it shows anything, it shows that even in a year like this, they're still able to go out there and bang with the big boys.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, just there are so many issues, of course. There are so many things you can look at and say, you know, Ben Roethlisberger and some of the struggles that he's had. The run game, the offensive line. Like, there are things... Of course, you know, the run defense, you can talk on and on and on about things that this team needs to fix. And there's no doubt that they're, you know, this is an average at best team right now because of the way that they're constructed, because of the guys that are healthy, because of the guys that are hurt. And again, we said this at the beginning, but the Steelers had the hardest schedule coming into this season. And I feel like we made such a big point of that at the beginning of the season. Oh, how are they going to be able to compete? Everyone talked about, you know, looking at these last 4 games, you know, you circled them at the beginning because it was going to be the Titans, the Chiefs, the Ravens and the Browns. And that was supposed to be a really hard part of the schedule. And, you know, obviously you never can predict what can happen. No one, I think, predicted what was going to happen to Baltimore happened to Baltimore. I think even with Cleveland, no one predicted what was going to happen. Although I would like to say that I feel like you and I were both on the same page there. So
we,
you know,
we were telling people not to buy into the Browns and
don't buy in. Because look what happens. But the reality of this situation is that this, people like to singularly blame one person. So people always look for that one person. Oh, it's Mike Tomlin's fault because his message isn't getting across. It's his fault because he has the ability to call plays on offense and defense. It's his, you know, thing because his players are getting out of line. And I think there's like little things that you can pinpoint, you know, obviously the Chase Claypool situation in the Vikings game is something, you know, there's little bits and pieces that you can look at and you can say, okay. But at the end of the day, we also heard from Mike Tomlin a couple weeks ago after, I'm trying to remember what game it was because I feel like the last couple stretch, but where the Steelers just seemed like, it was the Vikings game where they missed tackle after tackle after tackle. And it basically, Mike Tomlin was like, we're not really the ones going out there and tackling. Like, you can coach all you want and you can say something all you want and the message can be said over and over, but at the end of the day, it does come down to the players executing as well. So when people want to look for that one scapegoat, whereas, oh, it's Mike Tomlin's fault, it's like there's a lot of factors in here that could kind of bring this together. And I think that was just the reality of what this Steelers team was this season, what their realistic, you know, expectations and the ceiling was for this team. And it really wasn't crazy high, but they're still right there. And again, this is a team that, yes, things have to work out. And I think the Steelers fans aren't entirely used to, you know, oh, we have to do this and other teams have to do this in order to make the playoffs. But at the end of the day, they still have a chance to make the playoffs. Are they going to go anywhere in the playoffs? More likely than not. Probably not. But you never know. You could get a good matchup that you like. And all of a sudden, you know, if you're facing, I honestly, there's been way too many situations and simulations that my brain has all of them. But like, there's a realistic chance, you know.
You could play the Titans or the Bills again.
You could play the Titans or the Bills. Exactly. And, you know, maybe it won't go the way that it went the first time, especially if the Titans could potentially get Derrick Henry back. But you see a lot of things from this team that, again, there are things to build on. And I don't think that Mike Tomlin is at fault here. Are there a lot of things that are going to need to change next season? Yeah, you hope, and a lot of personnel things that need to be moved. And, you know, I mean, there's so many things that we could go on and on and on about too.
We'll do that in a second because we're doing the show a little different because the game's on Monday. We're going to do our picks last in the third segment. We're not done talking about messaging here because I have some more points about messaging I think both you and I can hash out pretty well here. But first, I got to tell you guys about Built Bar. This holiday season, grab the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, even better, even better than a candy bar. Built Bar is filled with so much holiday goodness, rich with decadent flavor, covered in chocolate, but amazingly low in calories, sugar, net carbs, and fat, but high in protein. You get the best of both worlds, being delicious and healthy with so many flavors, you'll have a hard time choosing between raspberry, mint brownie, cherry, double chocolate, cookies and cream, or peanut butter brownie. Built Bar is giving you the extra fuel all the time when you stay up late to finish a project, or when you're at work saying, man, it's a long work day. You can open one up, get your favorite flavor, and get things going. If you're sitting at home, cozy during the holidays, here's the secret. Make a hot cup of cocoa, put your Built Bar in it, and you can get the Built Bar flavor to mix in with your hot chocolate, and then you have a nice melty Built Bar for a treat for you as well. It's an awesome holiday trick, but you can get your favorite flavor for Built Bar at built.com by using promo code LOCKED15. You'll unlock a 15% off discount on your next order. Again, go to built.com to get your favorite flavor of Built Bar delivered right to your door and get a 15% off your next order with LOCKED15. That's LOCKED15, all capital letters, all one word, at built.com. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm Chris Carter here with Jenna Harner. We're continuing our talk about Mike Tomlin, Steelers, and messaging. And I want to get back to the messaging point because you brought up a point where, you know, some people might say when you talk about, like, in the Vikings game, there's opportunities to make tackles. You're in the position to make the tackle, and you just miss. And, you know, you say, oh, the coaches aren't out there. Well, some people might say, well, that means the message is getting stale and that the players just don't hear it anymore. And I hear that, and I'm like, is it though? Because the Steelers have shown, and we've seen several iterations of these Steelers teams under Mike Tomlin. We've seen the teams that struggled tackling, you know, at one point, I'd say back in like 2015, 2016, they struggled tackling. And in 2017, 2018, you saw that start to turn around, and especially by 2019 when their defense was one of the best in football. You know, back in the late 2000s, the Steelers' offensive line was one of the worst in the league. It was a joke. And then all of a sudden, over the next like 2 or 3 years, you see some investments, and then they're the best offensive line for several years. And now they're on the tail end of that at a restarting point. Mike Tomlin's shown over the years he can adapt to different situations. It doesn't always click, though, with every single player. You can't just make every practice squad guy a superhero. And I don't think people understand the nuances of coaching when they talk about that, Jenna.
No, I completely agree. And it's just it's there's so many fascinating parts of it to me. But again, like, I think looking at some of the pieces that this team had, I mean, when you lose – you really understand the significance of losing guys like Stephon Tuitt and Tyson Alualu and what they bring to that defensive line, because the way that they are up front, I think the run defense would look entirely different if you had those guys in. So there, as much as, you know, we always hear, you know, it's the next man up mentality. These guys have been ready for this situation, things along those lines. They are NFL players, yes, but there sometimes is that drop off. And I'm not trying to say this is in, you know, X player is better than this player, but that's kind of the reality of the situation. Sometimes it's like, you do lose a whole lot when you lose guys of that caliber. It is kind of that whole part of it is fascinating to me. And so this was a Steelers team that didn't have a ton of the pieces that they're so accustomed to having on both sides of the ball, where they are dominant in a ton of those aspects. Like, I think, and that's kind of one of the awesome things I love about this organization, like when I was coming to Pittsburgh, because this is a storied franchise. This is a franchise that is not known for below mediocrity. They are always kind of, you know, yes, they may not make the playoffs every year, but they're always competitive. You're not going to see a season from this team like the Jags, like the Falcons, like the Lions. Like, that just, that's not part of what this team is. And that's such a large test to guys like Mike Tomlin. Are there things that are going to need to change? Absolutely. Yeah. But at the end of the day, too, it's, you know, there is that drop off.
There's always a drop off when any team is going through rebuilding phases. Every organization goes through it. And again, when we're talking about what the Steelers have been able to do under Mike Tomlin, is that they've gone through those rebuild phases several times now and have never bottomed out. They never gotten to the point where they're one of the worst teams in the league, where you could see the team gave up at the end of the season and that there was no hope. And have they had December collapses? Absolutely. That's in fact defined a few of their seasons, but it's not a matter of giving up. It's oftentimes like, hey, this didn't work out, that didn't work out, this team played them a little bit better, or they got injured at the wrong time and that worked against them. But again, I look at this at the efforts that Mike Tomlin's put together, and you see a guy who's adapted so many times. He came in, made the solidified the Steelers defense in his early years and made them, you know, one of the best units in the NFL. They were number one in either yards or points allowed in about, I think, five of his first 6 years. And then when they had to become an offensive team, he made them one of the better offensive teams in the NFL. And, like, they didn't win a championship when that offense led. And we can argue about what led to that. But then they've gone back and they've been rebuilding the defense. And this year, obviously, the defense took a few hits. But you look at what they're trying to put together, and there's clearly – you know, there's clearly, you know, essence to there's a nucleus here. We talk about TJ Watt. We talk about Minkah Fitzpatrick. We talk about the guys that they're building around. And even on offense, they've gotten some playmakers back in Freiermuth and Harris. So there's definitely the signs of that rebuild that they're going through. But like you said, you know, this isn't like the Giants. This isn't like the Panthers. This isn't like the Lions or the Jets, the Jaguars, and all these other teams that's what falling apart looks like. When teams have absolutely no shot when you hit December, and it's just like, well, this next month is just pointless football, and we're just playing to see who might come back next year, you know, and not be a free agent, and who, you know, still believes in the team. You know, we haven't gone into a season where – in the next to last week of the season, that it's guaranteed the Steelers just don't have a shot in the playoffs. And that's ridiculous when you think about the parity of the NFL and how quickly teams move up and down the standings. But Jenna, I think one thing that we that we continue to harp on is also with the messaging. There are plenty of guys who do get the message. You see Najee Harris. Najee Harris could have gave up on this season a long time ago. He's like, I was just with Alabama winning national championships, and then I come to this offensive line that's getting me beat up. My quarterback is not mobile, and I can't work with, you know, he's not throwing the ball accurately to me. There's all these problems. You know what? I'm going to just do me this year. But no, he has the fifth most rushing yards in the NFL, and he has the sixth most yards from scrimmage in the NFL, and he's finding ways to still fight even when opportunities aren't there for him. It shows the young players and old players like Cam Hayward, there are guys who get it, and those are the guys that Mike Tomlin will build with for the future.
And that's a perfect example. I mean, look at the rookies. Look at, you know, if you want to talk about messaging and all of that, look at the rookies. You know, look at Najee. Look at Pat Freiermuth when he is not dealing with his concussions. Look at Isaiah Loudermilk.
Yep.
Look at Kendrick Green, Dan Moore. I mean, like, these guys were asked to do so much. And that's, you know, I obviously there are certain scenarios, like you usually see a team like the Jaguars. Trevor Lawrence is asked, okay, this is your team now. Here you go. You're thrown into the water where some franchises don't entirely have to do that with all of their rookies because they have sustainability. They have that. The Steelers did that with a lot of their rookies this year. And we saw growth. Obviously, is there room for a whole lot more? Of course there is. But is the messaging getting lost? Look at all those guys. Look at what they're continuously doing. I feel like if you looked at a rookie almost, it is almost easier for them to be like, okay, well, you know, this is tough. We're struggling. I'm hitting the rookie wall. There are so many ways for them to kind of say, hey, I'm going to taper down a little bit. Like you said, with Najee, I mean, there's no drop off from you, from any of them. Is there a learning curve still? Yes. Is there things that you need to see? Absolutely. But if you talk about messaging getting lost, I think there's kind of a perfect example. Look at the rookies, because clearly, at least among them, it isn't.
It's not. And you could say some Kendrick Green's had a rough year, and you could look at him, but he's out there trying. But I mean, guys, even Trey Norwood has made himself a valuable piece to the secondary. Again, you know, when the Steelers, when they've had struggling points this year, and Mike Tomlin has called, when he challenged them after the Bengals loss, they've responded. I don't think it's a lack of motivation or a lack of messaging for the Steelers. It's more so they have a lack of talent. And as much as people, you know, Ben Roethlisberger, the first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback, and he's one of the best to ever do it. But this year he has not been good, and he's been, and there's times where he's been clutch and he's come up big for the Steelers. But all in all, when you look at his touchdowns and what he's not been able to put together consistently, and how most of the games, if the Steelers win, it's because the defense either A, shut down the other team, or created a lot of turnovers to get the Steelers the ball back to get chances to score. That's been what's driven the team. He's been a guy who can hold down the fort and give you a chance at quarterback, but he's also been a guy who can limit you and not consistently hit the open man or find the open man or be mobile enough to create when he can't make those things happen. And again, that's not disparaging Ben Roethlisberger. That's just where he is at the end of his career. It doesn't take away his two Super Bowl championships. Doesn't take away how he's been a huge part of this organization, and, you know, would even be a Mount Rushmore guy for the Steelers in their history. But it's a fact that right now, that's when he, especially costing your team $25 million in cap space, that's something that's hard to work around. You know, Baker Mayfield, for all his faults with the Browns, he don't cost that much on their salary cap. He's still on his rookie deal. And that allows the Browns to invest in the offensive line, invest in the defense, go get free agents to build around. And that helps them. And even with that, Mike Tomlin's still finding a way to have a better record than these guys and has a chance to beat them and sweep them this year on Monday Night Football. We're going to talk about our weekend games in just a minute here, Jenna. Because we got some picks to throw down. But first, I got to tell you guys about Bet Online, where you can make your picks and make yourself some money. Bet Online has you covered all season long with more props, odds, and lines than ever before as football season continues the march to the playoffs. Bet Online remains your number one spot for all the sports action this season. Head to the new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code Locked On. That's LOCKEDON, Locked On, all capital letters, all one word, and you'll receive that 50% welcome bonus when you sign up at betonline.ag. From basketball to football to NHL to boxing to UFC, write down your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season at BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. And BetOnline, where the game starts. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm your host, Chris Carter. We're continuing our show here. We're going to get you our weekend picks here. The Steelers play Monday Night Football, so we're not going to do as hard a look on that. We'll do that on our Monday show, getting you ready for the game. But Jenna, all season long, we've been making our picks in runyourpool.com. Now, you and I aren't in the running to be in first place this year, but we have a few people who are...
Womp womp.
We have not been our best pickers. Congratulations to last week's winner, Gibo. He went 14-2 on the week to get the best record. But down the season, as we said, if you've been joining us on runyourpool.com all season long to make your picks, you've been in the contest to win a Steelers jersey of your choice from runyourpool.com. We have a current tie in first place, Jenna, with two people banging. That's Dan the Man and Griffin Mange, who are now at 151-73. So 151 wins now. We have a few people in the running here. Dan J has 146 wins, along with Juju Pick-Schuster. We have seen C-Night Pipe. That's a funny name. I'm sorry.
Honestly, bravo.
Yeah, bravo. I was like, I started to say it, and I was like, okay, they got me. That was a good one. With 145 wins, Cooper with 144 wins, and Ethan Brown with 144. A lot of people are pushing. If you've been making your picks, be sure to keep doing so at runyourpool.com in the Locked On Steelers Pick League. We'll see who comes out in first place and announce them in a couple weeks here. But it's time to get to this week's picks, Jenna. Let's start. We have we're at week 17, so there's no Thursday night football. It's all Sunday and Monday now. It's wonderful. I actually kind of enjoy that. Let's start off at 1 p.m. with a game that all Steelers fans will probably have their eyes on, along with another game. But the Rams at 11-4 go to Baltimore to play the 8-7 Ravens. The Ravens have been reeling with injuries. I just don't see a way that they bounce back. Even if they get Tyler Huntley and Lamar Jackson back in this game, they're just in a really rough spot.
Yeah, and I think this just kind of comes down to their defense and their secondary just being so injury depleted. Honestly, like, you really almost feel bad because you kind of do wonder what the potential of that team would have been like. But I just think even with Matt Stafford's up and down performance that we've seen from him a little bit, I think that he has himself a phenomenal afternoon against a really depleted Ravens secondary.
Yeah, that's a big chance for fantasy points if you're playing them this weekend, whether it's in your league or FanDuel. By the way, check out the WPXI Fantasy Insider brought to you by FanDuel and CalU that we do on Channel 11 WPXI now. But Jenna, let's move on to the next game. 7-8 Falcons at 9-6 Bills. The Bills bounced back last week. They avenged themselves against the Patriots. That was a pick that you had that I didn't. I'm all in on Buffalo now, at least as far as getting to and clinching the AFC East. I don't know if they'll beat the Chiefs or get too far in the playoffs, but they'll be able to win this game and they'll be able to finish strong on the season.
No, I completely agree. They're getting a lot of guys, like four or five guys off the COVID list, especially pieces of their offensive line that they desperately need, even though they had the performance they did against the Patriots last week. If Josh Allen keeps playing the way that he keeps playing, I would be a little bit scared about what the potential of this Bills team is going to be. But yeah, they should win this game no matter what. They know that they want to win that division and they control. If they win out, they win the AFC East and they want that.
Two teams that we were talking about basically earlier, how they have bottomed out and they're in the double digit losses. The 4-11 Giants face the 5-10 Bears. Jenna, you're a Giants fan. It's been a rough year. Is this a game that they sneak up and win though? Dang, she just said no. I'm not even giving them a chance.
Nope. The Bears actually have potential. I don't care who's playing quarterback for them, whether it's Andy Dalton, Justin Fields, or Nick Foles. It's just better than what the Giants have right now.
Oh, man. Well, in that case, I'm – you know what? Because you left your boys out that dry, I'm going to pick the G-men. I'm going to go with them. She's like, Chris, they have killed me my entire life, so go right ahead.
I wish you the best of luck with that. You know what? I will say with the Giants, I had two Super Bowl wins over the Patriots as someone grew up in New England. It was the greatest time ever. I will take that. I appreciate that. If that's the only Super Bowls I see from this team in the rest of my life, I think I can be content with it.
Hey, you know, Jenna, Steelers fans were happy about those wins. So, like, you know, that's kind of like, as a guy who grew up in Pittsburgh, everyone here was just like, go Giants, go G-Men, go get yours, Eli. So those were happy times for everyone but New England and people that sit on the Death Star. But anyways, this is probably the game of the week You know, just looking up at matchups wise, there might be another one in contention, but this is one of the ones that'd be up there. The 11-4 Chiefs at the 9-6 Bengals. The Chiefs at 11-4 look unstoppable. They've been crushing everyone in their path. The Bengals have at times looked unstoppable and then at times not. They looked really good last week, though, when they were lighting up the depleted Ravens defense. Joe Burrow with 5 touchdown passes. Joe Burrow versus Patrick Mahomes might be a matchup that we talk about for the next 10 years in the NFL as one of the premier things. But I think Patrick Mahomes, it's not just about him. It's about that Chiefs defense for me. They're playing a lot more consistent. It's not going to be easy for the Bengals to put up points, and I think it'll be easier for Pat Mahomes to do that.
I completely agree. And if I think you look at their 8-game win streak now, the take the Chargers game out of it, because I feel like that's a little bit of an outlier. The most points that they have allowed was week 8 against the Giants, 17 points. And I think that could even technically be qualified as a little bit of an outlier. This Chiefs defense, I mean, just the point totals that they've allowed, where did it just disappear to? I had it. There we go. 10 against the Steelers, 9 against the Raiders, 9 against the Broncos, Jeez. 9 against the Cowboys.
Jeez.
7 against the Packers. Like, this That's is going to be.
And granted, that was without Aaron Rodgers, but still. That's yes. in today's NFL, even backup quarterbacks can put up points that are like that. You're absolutely right. That's phenomenal by the Chiefs defense.
Yeah, so they've really turned things around. This is going to be a fun game. This is kind of a defining game for the Bengals. How do you match up against what's technically considered the kings of the AFC right now? It's going to be a good game. I still think the Chiefs win.
Big game for wild card purposes. 8-7 Raiders go to the 9-6 Colts. Raiders had a huge win last week. They were able to get on top. The Colts look like they're going to be without Carson Wentz. He tested positive for COVID-19, and he's unvaccinated, so he is officially out of this game. But the Colts
There is still technically, believe it or not, a chance he could play because of the new regulations.
I forgot that they changed the rules. A very good point by you. So he could play. But here's where I was going with that, Jenna. It don't matter if Carson Wentz play, because that run game has carried that team, and Carson Wentz has been a secondary factor for what they've done. Jonathan Taylor is on fire. He was on fire even without most of their offensive line. Now Quentin Nelson's back off the COVID list. Now they're going to be able to dominate the line of scrimmage even more. I see this game. The Raiders deserve a ton of credit, especially Derek Carr, for what they've put together and how they've been able to battle back from losing John Gruden, from your last 2 first-round picks being kicked off the team because they're boneheads. There have been so many crazy points for the Raiders. They're another team that could have folded at any point in time. Mm-hmm. They have not. They're sitting there at 8-7, but I think this is the week they lose. The Colts are playing some good football. I say they win and get to 10-6.
I think so, too, and that's a game a lot of Steelers fans have their eyes on because they do need the Raiders to lose. I think Jonathan Taylor just has himself an afternoon, as he's been doing all season long.
Absolutely. Next game, 9-6 Patriots host the 2-13 Jaguars. Look, Urban Meyer's gone, but they still got a lot of work to do. The Pats are going to whoop them.
Yep. Don't mess with an angry Bill Belichick. Did you see the stat? This is one of the stats that blows my mind. In his entire NFL coaching career, his defenses have always forced at least one punt.
Yeah.
They did not do that against the Bills. That's crazy. I would not want to be. Mm-hmm. This is going to be a game where I think the Patriots could put up like 40 points. It's going to be ridiculous.
I think it's going to be something like that. And it's the same. It's very similar to a former Patriot, Tom Brady, who last week we said after being shut out by the Saints, he was not going to be a happy camper. Then the Buccaneers put up 32-6 win last week over the Panthers. Now they play the 4-11 Jets. I think they do a similar beat down here.
Yeah, it's not going to be pretty for Zach Wilson and the Jets. The Jets are going to be like, why do we have to face this guy again? We thought we got rid of him. Nope. So that's going to be a fun one.
8-7 Dolphins at 10-5 Titans. This is a very intriguing matchup for me because the Dolphins, I believe, are on a 7-game win streak, an 8-game. I think they're on a 7-game win streak right now. And they found ways to be able to get in there to defensively shut things down. Tua Tagovailoa has settled down. Jalen Waddle's become a factor. And they're playing a Titans team that's still good. Like it's not like they're a bad team right now. But they're not what everyone thought that they could be without Derrick Henry. Granted, getting AJ Brown is a big help. And yes, it is 7 wins in a row for now. I have to think that the Dolphins' path stops this week. I just think that they've done a really good job winning some of these games, but they've come close. They were a touchdown away from losing, from tying the Jets. They had a close call with the Texans. They've had some really good performances, but I think the Titans have enough with this week to be able to get back on top and kind of assert themselves as the top of the AFC South.
I agree. This game is going to come down to defense, and this game is going to come down to which team can limit the turnover battle. Whoever wins a turnover battle is going to win this game. I genuinely believe that because Miami's Dolphins. Am I okay?
You're okay.
Miami's defense has looked spectacular. What they were able to do against the Saints, yes, it was against a really depleted offensive line and a rookie quarterback, fourth string quarterback making his first start in Ian Book, but they still looked good. That's exactly what you're supposed to do against teams like that. So I think their defense is going to look good. It's just going to be a matter of, again, who can limit the turnovers. I think the Titans win this, but I think the Dolphins make it really close.
They will. I like the Dolphins defense to keep this within range. I just like Ryan Tannehill. Also, Ryan Tannehill revenge game, anybody? That's going to be a factor, right? So he's gonna be like, you should have never go. That's gonna absolutely happen in this game. 8-7 Eagles at 6-9. Nice. Washington football team. but I see this being a game where the Eagles come out on top. They've been more consistent as of late. Washington, Taylor Heineke's shown some flashes, but ultimately they have a lot of work to do. They're still without Chase Young and a lot of pieces that they've needed. I'm going with Philly.
And that defense, the Washington defense, looked bad.
Yeah, they got thrashed by the Cowboys last week.
It's not great. Not great. So I think Philly, like you said, has had more consistency. I think we've seen some good things out of Jalen Hurts, and they're really fighting for their playoff lives. So I think that Philly makes this – I think they do win this one. And I think it's not – I don't think it's going to be close, but, yeah, I'm going Philly.
Moving on, AFC West showdown. It's the Chargers at 8-7 hosting the 7-8 Broncos. The Broncos have been a team that's been up and down just like the Chargers. Now, the Broncos, they've been dealing with Teddy Bridgewater's loss. They lost to the Bengals by 5 the other week. They lost to the Raiders by 4 last week. But the Chargers haven't exactly all been consistent themselves. Despite having Justin Herbert, despite being a team that a lot of people picked to go far, they're on a two-game losing streak as well themselves. They lost to the Kansas City Chiefs 2 weeks ago, but inexplicably, they got smoked by the Texans in Houston last week. This is a sign to me that there's something going on there. I'm going with the upset. I'm going with Denver on the road going into Los Angeles. I'm pretty sure I said San Diego at some point in this show. But I'm going with Denver going into Los Angeles, beating the Chargers at SoFi, setting both teams to 8-8, and making it a very interesting week 18 with all the wild cards being in play.
Ooh, I like your choice there. I like your pick because this is a toss-up for me too because of the inconsistencies with both teams. I feel like I just have to go with the Chargers because I just like Justin Herbert and his ability better. And I think the parity too. I mean, you're bound to lose a game like you lost to the Texans. But yeah, there are a lot of question marks there. This one's kind of a toss-up. I'm going with the Chargers just to have another different pick.
Yeah, there you go. We can split up a little bit more. 4-11 Texans at 8-7 Niners. I'm going with the Niners. They're just a better football team right now. Texans had a really good win, and they've got caught on a little bit more of late here. I wouldn't be surprised at an upset. They're on a two-game win streak. They've won 3 of their last 6. But I think the Niners, they just figure it out this week, and they get it done.
Yeah, something to build off of if you're the Texans, no doubt. But I just think the Niners are a more complete team. They should win this one.
Cardinals at Cowboys. Cardinals 10-5, but reeling. Now, this could be the game of the week. I talked about Chiefs, Bengals, but this could be the game of the week. You got Dak Prescott versus Kyler Murray. Cowboys 11-4. They've clinched a playoff spot, but the Cardinals are reeling. They were 11-2. They were 10-2 not too long ago. Now they're 10-5 with 3 straight losses to the Rams, the Lions, and the Colts. I think that keeps going. They're going to get 4 straight losses here, and you're going to see the Cowboys come out on top. But what say you?
I think these two teams are just kind of trending in totally opposite directions here. We saw what the Cardinals were able to do. I think they still have a ton of talent. I think this will be kind of a back and forth type game, no doubt about it. But I just think with especially the performance the Cowboys had last week, like they just look phenomenal. They're peaking at the right time. They're in the conversation for being one of the top seeds in the NFC. And I think that kind of continues.
NFC South matchup here between two teams that have had disappointing seasons, 5-10 Panthers at 7-8 Saints. Jenna, the Saints, you know, with Ian Book last week looked really rough against the Dolphins. But I do think there's still that defense that plays there. And it's not like the Panthers have found too many inches at the quarterback position, even if Cam Newton's back. But I will say this. I think that both teams are reeling and this can be a weird game. I'm going to go with the Panthers on the road, though. I'm going to think that this is going to be a low scoring affair. It's going to be a weird one. And there's going to be the Panthers are just going to make one more play than the Saints in the end. And it'll be a rough end for New Orleans.
Ooh, that's interesting. It is kind of going to be one of those weird games. I completely agree. But I just think the Saints defense is going to be able to keep them in this one, no matter who's at quarterback for either team.
Lions at Seahawks, man. I'm going with the Lions, man. They've actually shown some impressive things here. They've won two out of their last four. They've played a little bit better football. They almost beat the Falcons last week. Meanwhile, the Seahawks, they're on the struggle bus. They're figuring out they're going to have to go through a bit of a rebuild. They've lost back-to-back games. They've lost five of their last seven. So I'm going with Detroit. Detroit should be in a position to kind of say, hey, let's build for it for next year. And I think they have a lot. They have a little bit more at stake because they've been resigned to their fate as being one of the worst teams in the NFL. But still, you see them fighting the way they have late in the season.
Exactly. They're still competing. They're still, you know, we talk about teams that quit sometimes. This is a team that, as much as they have all the reason in the world to do that, they're not quitting. So you know what? Hey, let's go Lions 2 weeks in a row.
Absolutely. Woo. Vikings at Packers, 7-8 at 12-3. Listen, the Packers are right now maybe the best team in football with the way that they play when Aaron Rodgers is out there. He capitalizes on mistakes, and he limits his own mistakes better than anybody I see in the game right now. The Vikings are a team that makes a lot of mistakes. I see the Packers jumping all over this Sunday night and continuing to solidify their place at the top of the NFC.
I think this will be a close game because I feel like these two teams always play each other closely. But yeah, I just feel like with what Aaron Rodgers is doing, an MVP caliber type season, the way that the Packers are playing, the way that their defense has come along this season, I think this is very hard to pick against them.
Finally, Browns at Steelers, the big game here. Jenna, we're way over time. So what we're going to do is I want to hear your pick. Give me your pick. Who wins, final score, and what's the tie that turns the game?
Whoo! All righty. I'll make it quick, I promise. I'm going with the Steelers in this one because they always seem to have the Browns number. And I think that everybody knows the stakes that are here in this game. For both of these teams, it is kind of a do or die, prove yourself. Which team are you? It's going to be low scoring. It is not going to be pretty. I'm doing math in my head. It's going to be 24-20 Steelers. I think the turning point is that they're going to force Baker Mayfield to do something stupid, whether it's an interception, whether it's a fumble, whether it's a really bad sack that turns the tide and shifts some things. So it's going to come down to the defense making a play against Baker Mayfield. It's also going to come down to the run defense and limiting Nick Chubb, which you asked Mike Tomlin about. But yeah, I think this is a game the Steelers do win because I think they know exactly what's at stake here.
They do know what's at stake. That's something that they're talking about. But I believe that they still think about the way that they went out last season on their home field to this Cleveland Browns team, and they want to make a statement. And it's also Ben Roethlisberger's potentially his last home game at Heinz Field. Mm-hmm. Lots going into that, and we'll see how that plays out. You'll get my pick on the Monday show because I still got to hold. So I got to give you guys some suspense. You know, I gotta build it up. Jenna got her pick. I'm gonna break that game even more. We'll be able to come back on Monday after the weekend's games. We'll be talking about who won, who lost, if the playoffs are indeed actually even doable at that point in time, because there is a chance that if a lot of things go against the way this game doesn't even matter as far as the playoff scheme. But if it does, it's going to make for a really exciting game of Monday Night Football. Jenna, thanks so much for joining us here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. You're always a gem to have on the show. Please let us know where we can find you, follow you, and get more of your work.
It is always wonderful to spend a Friday with you and our listeners and viewers. You can find me on Twitter at JennaHarner11, Instagram Jenna_Harner, and on WPXI doing a bunch of stuff. Definitely tune in. And hey, Happy New Year, everybody.
Yeah, happy New Year, everyone. We hope that you party safely and you have a good time out there. We appreciate everyone who helps us out by liking our YouTube channel, subscribe to our YouTube channel, and also leaving us our 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. That stuff really helps out and gets word out about the show. Like I say, when you do that, you get a shout out at the end of the show. Thanks again for checking out the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Carter Critiques. We'll see you after the new year in 2022, and we will be getting you ready on Monday for Monday Night Football.